I'm your average action movie survivor. When I'm not busy trying to avoid massive superhero battles with people getting thrown through walls or dodging giant robots about to step on me, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also, be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Do it now, because the Robopocalypse is coming!
Part-Time Fanboy.
Pues hace como 3 años que hablamos.
Sí.
No lo puedo creer que hace como 3 años.
Fue como... yo creo que... I still have the last conversation we have in Skype.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like four years ago?
Yeah, pues hace... No, es como 3, 2 y media... Como, déjame ver, es como diciembre 19, 2019. So, December 19th, 2019 es cuando hablamos.
Wow.
Okay.
Before the pandemic? Before the...
Sí, antes del pandemic. Yeah, before the pandemic. Yeah, yeah. Pues estoy, soy muy feliz que... Señor Castor está en Kickstarter.
Sí, muchas gracias, Cristian.
Sí.
Fue algo que, bueno, quizás dentro del programa te puedo contar más de eso, pero
sí.
Hemos pasado por muchas cosas con Benjamin Slavak, el producer.
Sí.
Hemos pasado por muchas cosas con la serie. No todas son buenas, pero muchas son buenas. O sea, no todas son buenas, pero algunas no tanto.
Okay.
Entretenido la aventura que hemos tenido.
Ok, pues hablamos de eso. We're going to switch to English, ok?
Yes, no problem.
Mi español no es muy perfecto. Puedo hablar, puedo entender.
Bueno. ¿Qué? Es muy bueno. Se entiende. ¿Te entiendes?
Gracias. Pues tu español es mejor que...
Te entenderían muy bien.
Ok, gracias. Okay.
No,
ok, pues vamos a hablar en inglés. This is the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. My name is Christian Horn. I am very pleased to bring you a very special guest. I love his work. I love his art. I love his book. The name is Pablo Verdugo Muñoz. See? And we are talking here because you just launched a Kickstarter for your book, Mr. Beaver. Which I had you on the podcast. If people don't understand Spanish, we were speaking a little bit of it when we opened up. I had you on the podcast like 3 years ago, and you were launching your book through Action Lab at the time, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I see you're on video. I am not, but I can see you. I see the nod of the head and the like sad. Yeah. I had a book through... Well, I helped a friend, Baby Badass, through Action Lab, and probably the less said about that, the better, because there's lots of things happening with that company that maybe we won't address. But when I interviewed you 3 years ago, I was very excited about this book. I was very enthusiastic about it because it's a lot of fun. It's a great ride, and you, sir, are an amazing artist. Like, I love your art.
Thank you, Christian. Thanks for the one of the greatest introductions I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Very, very honored for your words. Thank you.
And I should say that I'm speaking to you. You're in Chile, correct? Chile?
I am in Chile.
Yeah.
South America.
Yeah. Yeah, so English is a bit of your second language, and Spanish is my second language, but we're coming together internationally and trying to make it work. But your English is fine. I mean, we've had you on the podcast before. My Spanish is not, but or not perfect, but yeah.
Very good. Actually, it's very good.
Well, I've been following you on social media for a while since we first talked, and I'm constantly like on Instagram and stuff. I'm floored by your work. Like, I'm just blown away by it. And, you know, when I saw that you were about to do a Mr. Beaver Kickstarter, I mean, you were probably like, why is this guy bothering me so much? Because I was like, I want to talk to you. I want to help as much as I can. Because in all honesty, I'm a big fan of Mr. Beaver. I'm jealous of your talent. You know, I just think that what you are doing is so much fun. And it's just like, for me, and I think probably for a lot of people that would come across it, it's just like a perfect combination of like cuteness and fun and action. And you really nailed it with this book. Do you want to tell people what Mr. Beaver is about for people who haven't heard of it yet?
Sure. Sure, Christian. First of all, I want to thank you for the room you're giving here. I think I don't know any comic book artists that have such a chance to be in your podcast.
Oh,
I think it's a great honor, and I would like to thank you.
Oh, well, I'm honored by you coming on. So I'm excited. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you for your help, too.
Yeah, well, whatever I can do. Whatever I can do. I mean, honestly.
Thank you, Christian. Mr. Beaver is, like you said, you described it very well. It's a good combination of action, mainly action, and some furry characters, funny animals. Like I try to name the concept.
Yeah.
It's like the concept that brings Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to the popularity. I think I want to achieve the same goal.
Yeah.
Try to create an anthropomorphic character. I think is. Got more feeling with the people.
Yeah.
Instead of the common superhero, male, probably white guy.
Yeah.
To make like something like Disney do.
Yeah.
You notice all the Disney characters are almost all anthropomorphic. So.
Yeah.
The people like it more. So I try to achieve that with Mr. Beaver. Mr. Beaver is a combination, like I said, of action, adventure, and in the core of the story, the very seed of the story is like a story of friendship.
Yeah.
Friendship between the main character, that is Mr. Beaver, and his partner, cop partner, Patrick Cage. It is a cop buddy story.
Yeah.
Like, and I wanted to achieve that.
Yeah.
Get to the heart of the people with a character, with a cute and.
Yeah, I see you've got a plush in the background. Like, that's
yeah, I have the plush. I can.
Did you have that made? Like,
yes,
are you selling that? Is that part of the Kickstarter?
No, and then it's not part of the Kickstarter.
It's just for you.
It's so expensive that
I know.
Just one for me. A girl like here in Chile.
Really?
Personal plush. So I commissioned her to make Mr. Beaver.
Well, those would sell, I think. Those would be very popular.
Oh, yes, I think.
I remember I'm looking at our last interview on the parttimefanboy.com, and I described it as Howard the Duck meets the Punisher meets MacGyver. Like, it reminds me of like those three things from what I remember of it. And it's because he's sort of like, it's funny because you're using, like you said, an anthropomorphic, anthropomorphic character. But he's very cute looking, but he's kind of like got like a bit of a tortured soul and like angst to him, right?
Yeah.
And so you have this balance of like, I'm a badass, you know, I have a very sort of like Batman sort of like past or whatever. But like anytime he tries to talk about stuff like that, or go into that depth of feeling, he's still like this little bucktooth character, like trying to talk about it. So it's cute. It's like, it doesn't get too dark or too serious because of what he is. And I think that combination is genius.
Thank you. You nailed it. The point of the character is like, you saw it and it's like a plush, like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
So do you you don't expect a violent or a tormented soul character?
Yeah.
You didn't expect that. So I tried to mix two opposite concepts into one character. And so with that, I tried to achieve the charisma.
Yeah.
I think in English is a charm, or I think that I want to achieve that with the character. So
yeah,
you saw it. You in the New York Comic Con when we showed the character and the comic with Benjamin Slavak. People don't know what it's about the comic.
Uh-huh.
Don't know what the comic's about.
Yeah.
But they saw the character and they like it. So that's my goal.
Yeah.
They pick the comic just for the character and read the story and they like it too.
Yeah.
So that's the hook of this product.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to me because, I mean, it's a very winning combination. And you mentioned Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I just recently read Batman Meets Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'd had it sitting on my shelf for a while. And for some reason, I'm not like a huge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan. Like I was never like a big, I was a little too old when they started really hitting the scene. I really like the original movie, like from 1989 or 1990 or something.
Favorite.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good movie. But I actually have some of the hardcovers that go back to the beginning. And it's really funny to me, at least with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that they were like starting off and they were like gritty and like serious. And they're these turtles. And but the artwork was so like raw and stuff that the cuteness didn't necessarily come through probably until they became like licensed characters, right? But you're starting from the beginning, like I mean, it's really, you know, looking back at the comic, you know, there's scenes where he's like talking about like whatever his past or whatever happened to him, and he's got like the frown, you know, he's got a frown or something, and he's still like this little beaver with his teeth out, and I'm just like, this is great, like because you can't help but smile at it, I mean, and enjoy and just be like, oh my god, like this is great. Like he's trying to be like really serious, but looking at him, you can't take him too seriously, right?
Yeah, that's the goal of the character. Like you say, it's like sometimes it's a serious story, but never taking too serious.
Yeah,
that's my equilibrium, like you say.
Yeah,
like my middle point. I want to achieve that in all the series. So to have this combination, I think it create a choke in the brain when you say a cute character with a bad attitude. It's like I want to create that in the character.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, a lot of the book is, it reminds me, and I may have said this on our previous podcast or our previous conversations, like it does remind me of a lot of sort of like that 90s action movie sort of thing. Like, you know, like you said, it's a buddy cop movie. So it's a buddy cop sort of thing. But like, it's great because it's almost like if in Lethal Weapon, like whatever we think of Mel Gibson, like if the Mel Gibson character was this like animal, and his partner was like, like I got to work with this, right?
I actually, like you say, is the in Mr. River is the base, the core of the story. Also, is the structure, two body characters, two cop body characters. One is the bad cop, Mr. River.
Yeah,
and the other one is the good cop.
Yeah. By the book, Mr. right?
Yeah, Mr. River is like the experimental character, and Patrick is the character that is naive, is new, is new in the cop body. And like you say, I try to achieve the core of the story, like McLean, like when he is discussing with his or fighting with his boss.
Yeah.
And he said, McLean, you destroy all the city to save the citizens. And McLean doesn't give a care.
He doesn't give a crap. Yeah.
Like that attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about McLean is Die Hard, right? Like
Die Hard.
Die Hard. Yeah. For me, it goes back to like even like sort of Dirty Harry-ish or like I said, like Lethal Weapon. But it's funny because I don't want to say Dirty Harry because that would scare like this is, I mean, I don't know, would you consider it all ages? But it is like younger readers can pick it up and enjoy it, right?
I think from younger readers, like you said,
maybe not for like little kids, right?
No. Probably not for kids or young, or too much young people.
Yeah.
Because you got violence, you got some concepts that can be confused.
Yeah.
So it's like for people, I think 20 and up.
Well, teenagers too, right? Like teenagers could pick it up.
Right? Yes, like 15.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like an adult only book. I mean, I don't remember it being that, right?
No. It's like, no. It got some violence, yes, but I think it's like a teenage manga. It's not the same concept, but it may be the same public, the same target audience.
I think that you're very correct. I mean, to me, it's like a Die Hard movie, but like with Roger Rabbit. Like if you like Die Hard and stuff like that, or if you think somebody's old enough to like enjoy like that sort of thing, or like a Lethal Weapon, or you know whatever the modern equivalent is of that, then Mr. Beaver is probably good for that age range. And it's like I've been saying, it's got that little tint of humor in it to kind of like make it even more accessible in a way, because even though there is violence and there is action, it's a little bit hard to take that too seriously if it's a beaver that's like jumping around, wielding the gun, you know, kicking people and kicking ass, right?
Yes, actually I have the concept of, like you said, the body cop story of Little Weapon. Also, I love Danny Glover, and I love the movies of...
Yeah.
Mel Gibson too.
Yeah.
And but I
well, include, we don't love Mel Gibson so much these days, but if you okay.
I'm sorry. No, I love the characters.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
The actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize.
Sorry, no.
If people like Mel Gibson,
what are the your audience?
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter.
I said, I love Little Weapon, but I want to introduce some trick of martial arts. I really like martial arts movies and series. And I remember there was in the 90s or the 80s, and I don't remember the probably one TV series that there was a the same concept. They got two body cops. And one of them have like martial arts skills, I was blown away because they have guns, they have the cop attitude, but also in the top layer they have martial arts skills. So try to add that this to Mr. Beaver too.
Nice. Nice. That's great. No, I mean, that's one of the things I've noticed about your art and stuff like that. It is sort of, you have a very manga influence, right?
Yes. Also, like I told you before, I don't remember if I told you, sorry. I grew up in the 90s here in Chile when the comic books, the American comic books were very popular.
Yeah.
In the other hand, there was this boom of explosion of the manga influence in the country.
Yeah.
So I think I grew up with the two influences, and that ended with consequences in my work, my artwork.
Sure, sure. What are some of your favorite manga? Like, what did you grow up on, and what's the stuff that you really liked? I'm imagining they translate. I mean, it was in Spanish, right? That you were reading this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, in Spanish.
That's
in
cool.
Spanish. And I grew up with some mangas like Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
With Saint Seiya. Don't know if you know it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that I know that one.
Saint Seiya. It's like they are come like knights
okay.
with armor, with the zodiac symbols.
Okay.
With Inuyasha too. One more.
Oh yeah.
Dragon Ball Z. I mentioned it. Dragon Ball. With a lot of like shonen manga. I think that is the term.
Yeah,
the
shonen. Uh huh.
Shonen manga that is focused on fightings. Focused on.
Yeah, action and stuff, right?
Which will be a teenage audience, I think. This genre was very popular in Chile.
Yeah.
So I think all the artists born in the 90s or the 80s were influenced by that. I think an artist is a son of his time, and my time was in the 90s with all the manga and the American comic influence.
Yeah. No. But who are some of the artists you think that like influenced you the most? Because it's funny because you do have their, I mean, your artwork is gorgeous and it's beautiful. Anytime I see it like on Instagram or on social media. And when I was reading Mr. Beaver, I was just like, oh, wow, this guy's like doing it right. Like this guy is like he's really got it together. But do you have any particular favorite manga comic book artist that influenced you growing up? I mean, I would imagine if there were American comics, like some of that Image crew might have stuck in or something, if that was being exported.
Yes. In the influence of American comic, I have like a very strong Image comics.
Yeah.
So, overall is Todd McFarlane, Greg Capullo, Mark Silvestri, all the Image team.
Yeah.
Overall, I think Jim Lee is a great influence.
Yeah,
he's the axis, the core of all the style, American style. He established the standard of the comic book art.
Yeah,
I think the 90s or the 80s.
Yeah, have they been able to get that? What is it? The X-Men Artist Edition, the big hardcover over there in Chile.
No.
Still, if you can get a hint, maybe, yeah. Somebody's got to get a way to send that to you, because if you're a Jim Lee fan, it's amazing. It's this giant hardcover, and it's all the X-Men books. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Artist Edition books, where they're like these hardcovers, and they scan the pages at the original size, and they leave like all the like blue line and all that stuff.
Like a collector's edition.
Yeah. Collector's edition.
The original format of the page size.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. No, in Chile, no. Still no.
They released the Jim Lee one, and it's really beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, I like Jim Lee too. He's one of those artists that when in the 90s, I was very much like, oh, this guy. And I noticed a little bit of his shortcomings as I've gotten older, like maybe his characters their poses are a little too stiff, and maybe there's all this crazy cross hatching, but I can't deny that even now I look at stuff and it takes my breath away, you know?
Yeah. He's very talented.
Yeah, incredibly talented.
He put the standard of the comic book art in the 90s, in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was definitely the one. It's funny because just looking at that X-Men Artist Edition book, I was like, wow, he really did influence a lot, like particularly in the 90s. I was trying to figure out who came first. Was it him or Rob Liefeld? Like, I don't, because they were kind of doing the same sort of thing, but Jim Lee had a level of skill that Liefeld did not, right?
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes, it's like the same style, but more developed in Jim Lee.
For sure. And what about Japanese artists?
Yeah, and on the other hand, I really like Akira Toriyama.
Okay.
He's the creator of Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
Also, Ryoichi Ikigami. I don't know if you know it.
Oh, I don't. I'll have to look him up.
Yes, he's like the creator of Crane Freeman.
Oh, okay. That's more of like kind of like a realistic style. Like no.
Yeah. Yes. It's still manga, but have some realistic touch that give him his work something like gritty. Something like dark.
Yeah.
Also, all the stories he worked were like crime stories, like police stories. So,
yeah.
The artist of the artist. Let me look for it and remember the name of the artist.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, while you're kind of like thinking about that, what's the name?
Katsuya Terada. He's a manga artist.
Okay.
Now he's posting some of his artwork in Instagram right now. But he's a great artist. He's very detailed. He's very he's like another artist I like. He's like Masamune Chiro, the creator of Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Ghost in the Shell. Yeah.
Yeah, the.
So you like all that '90s stuff?
All '90s. No, I like you said. I grew up in the '90s, and and all this influence was all in the '80s and the '90s.
Yeah.
So
that's great. I was talking with some people the other day. We were talking about anime and manga and stuff, and I've actually never watched all of the series of Ghost in the Shell from the '90s, and I recently got them on Blu-ray. And I like them, but it's hard for me to like stick with them. There's something in there that I just am not like fully connecting to. And I think it's maybe because I don't know if the animation's a little slow or the storyline or something. I like it, but I don't love it. But I've come across like more of the modern stuff. I forget what it's called. I can't remember. There's a newer version from like several years ago that I got on Blu-ray, and I was just like, oh, this stuff looks beautiful. But either way, Ghost in the Shell is one of those things that was a huge influence on people, right?
Yes. I think it's like the Blade Runner. Oriental Blade Runner.
Yeah. That's probably really correct. So, I mean, talk to me a little bit about Mr. Beaver's journey, because I mean, the last we talked, obviously, Action Lab, right? And that didn't pan out. I mean, I think that's something that's been happening with a lot of creators. But to me, the professionalism of your work is so, your stuff is so well done, and it really is a professional level. Like, I mean, I can't look at your stuff and be like, there's a part of me that's like, why isn't this guy working for Marvel? Why isn't this guy working for DC? Like, why did it take 3 years to sort of like get Mr. Beaver on Kickstarter? Because from what I kind of remember, you were pretty much done, right? Like with the first arc, right?
Okay. Yes. There's a long story. I hope you have time.
Yes. Well, we've got some time.
You are seated or something?
I'm sitting down. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all started in 2018.
Yeah.
The first edition of Mr. Beaver I published it in Tapastic. Don't know if you know
Oh
the site.
no, I didn't know that.
Tapastic is there is a it's a very popular web comic web
Okay.
where you can self-publish your title. And I showed the project to Benjamin Slavak. Benjamin Slavak is an Australian writer and producer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too, but anyway, go on. Yeah.
He really likes the story and the characters.
Yeah.
So he proposed that he can produce the comic book with the color, because in the first edition of Mr. Beaver was all black and white.
Oh, really?
Yes, all black and white, and he helped me with the colors and also the production and like I said,
Like the publishing and distribution
the
and stuff?
policy, like the management of the series, so to speak.
Gotcha.
We got the publication with Action Lab, so
Yeah.
we were happy. We were jumping on our feet, and then Action Lab was I don't know if I can speak bad
Yeah.
one, but
It just didn't
one.
work out. Let's just say it didn't work out.
Doesn't work out for, but I think it's the company's blame
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they didn't answer like any mail or give any update of the sales.
Yeah.
And the first big mistake was they didn't send the product the comic to the distribution.
Yeah.
I think there was we were working with Diamond.
Yeah.
They forget, send the comic to the distribution,
Oh my gosh, really?
and then after that there was a free fall of the comic because the comic didn't meet the dates, the release dates. The release date was moved like 3 times.
Yeah, I've been hearing this about, yeah.
That sort of stuff really did damage, I think, the brand.
Damage the
And then,
brand to like comic shops or like any, because I mean it was sort of like a new thing, and I mean these things have sort of, whoever you talk to out there have been happening with that particular company. I mean, I can't imagine. Do you think it hurt you as an artist and like Mr. Beaver as a property?
I think yeah, in sort level, I think yes. I think it took a serious consideration of the public to the comic book. Like I said before, the release date was moved like 3 times,
Yeah.
and the third time, yeah, the people don't even care.
Yeah. So they weren't ordering it. And was it released, was it going to be released as single issues or like just a trade paperback first?
Yes, it was. It was tried to. We tried to release it in individual issues
Yeah.
first, then the TPB or the
Trade
TPB.
paperback. Yeah. The collected
Yes,
book.
the
Yeah.
book, the collection,
Yeah.
and after that, we try to communicate to reach Actual Lab, but they don't respond to emails, don't give a feedback about the sales, anything, no, nothing, nothing, nothing
Yeah.
about nothing. And we found out that talking with another published authors, another creators
Yeah.
that work with Actual Lab, they were in the same situation.
Yeah.
It wasn't just us. There was the common mistake with all the artists and the
Yeah.
writers. So we decided to step back and not keep working with Actual Lab in like 2020,
Yeah.
I guess. And then we try to send the submission project to another publishers.
Okay.
Send to EDW included, and they really like the project, but don't have the votations enough to give the okay to the project, but they really like the character.
Yeah. Oh, so what, IDW just couldn't commit to it, or just didn't have the resources, or wasn't like.
I think all the board didn't agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
not all the board. They told me that it was half say yes and the half say no to the break. So
really,
we were really close to publish with IDW, but it didn't came up. So we think to better self publish. Meanwhile, we borrow the rights to publish in other language.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Talk with people in Japan, with people in Italy, and now we're talking with people in France.
Oh, wow!
To publish in this language.
Oh wow! Oh wow!
So we took the decision to launch the Kickstarter, so we can self-publish. And meanwhile, we are talking with to publish in Japan, Italy, and France.
Oh, that's great. Like, I can't imagine, like, honestly, Pablo, I can't imagine somebody looking at this and being like, we don't want to publish this. Like, I can't, if I was a publisher, I would be like, yes, absolutely, 100%. Because like I said, there's nothing in this that says to me, I mean, it's an independent comic, right? It's your own comic book and they're independent publishers. But there's a lot of like indie comics that I see where I'm very much like, this is not necessarily what I consider to be like professional level, but Mr. Beaver, the stuff that I've seen from you is definitely stuff where I've been like, oh yeah, like this is something that is on par with like something that you would, you know, consider at the big two, you know what I'm saying? Like Marvel or DC or that sort of thing. I mean, this is a really solid, not just looking, but fun and, you know, entertaining book.
Thank you. Well, sometimes the publisher line maybe doesn't fit with the title.
Yeah.
Or backwards, the title doesn't fit the publisher line. Or
yeah, I would make a publishing line for that. I would be like, we're gonna get behind Mr. Beaver. We're gonna give it its own, you know, whatever branding or whatever, and we're gonna no, because I mean, it's just so. I mean, it's not, I mean, it's unique in its own way, but it's definitely something that seems to me like would just tap into a market that is ready for it. You know what I mean? Like we've said, like anthropomorphic animals, everybody loves funny animals and everybody loves action movies. And he's kind of also, like I said earlier, like a MacGyver, you know, kind of guy where he's kind of like putting together like his own like little gadgets to get out of stuff. So I can't imagine. Do you think the pandemic might have like hurt it in some way?
Yes, no, I think the pandemic affect all the markets.
Yeah,
the markets,
for sure,
including the publisher market. And I think that's why all the publishers some publishers didn't take Mr. Beaver because they don't want to risk at this point.
Yeah.
And I think personally, Mr. Beaver is a sure bet.
Yeah,
but
definitely a sure bet. Yeah, I could see it in movies. Like I said, I could see like if you had like Ryan Reynolds or somebody like that, and you had like Mr. Beaver animated, and you had like an action. Like this is the sort of thing that's just like perfectly. Not that I think that the end game is to have a comic be a movie, but this is definitely the sort of thing where I could see somebody just being like, yeah, easy sell, like ready to go. Like if I was a big time Hollywood producer and had tons of money to throw at you, I'd be like, where's the contract? Like, let's do it.
I think that is the core also when I try to think Mr. Beaver as a product. I try to write a story and create characters thinking of other markets, like not just the comic book market. I'm thinking about TV, like toys, video games, animations. I think the comic book industry is great. I love it, but I think it's the younger brother or the poor brother of the family, the great media.
Yeah.
I think the video games and movies have the whole all the cake, but the comics is part of it.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, talk to me about comics. I mean, talk to me about are you working primarily digitally at this point?
Yes, all digital.
All digital. And what are you using? Are you using, is it Clip Studio Paint or?
Clip Studio Paint, I think it's the best tool right now. Or to make comic books. It's very popular. It have the gadgets to make it professional, like, and also have the tools that resemble the analog tools.
Yeah.
Like, the pen, the real pen is the real pen in the software. So it's almost the same. And long time ago, I did use Photoshop, but I moved to Clip Studio Paint, and I think it's much better.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sort of in the same boat. I mean, I like Clip Studio Paint a lot. I'm sort of in the process of like trying to get out from under that Adobe subscription thing, which is they just kind of like raised the price, and I'm testing out like Affinity Photo and like Affinity Design, like just for retouching and stuff like that. And I feel like I'm getting really good results. So I totally am with you with Clip Studio. Like I really like that, especially for somebody like me. I have like very kind of like shaky hands, like, and for me it helps. What's that?
It's like the fix the line.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't remember the name of the tool, but if you have a shaky line, the software fixes it for you.
Yeah, it smooths it. It helps smooth it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I don't need that like on paper or anything like that, but for some reason on, you know, the screens are smooth, so you can get that like little jitter if it's not like perfect, and maybe searching for that perfect line is something that I should let go of, but I think that Clip Studio is much better at it.
Yes, much better. But like you said, the only thing bad is the trend now that all the software is like for rent. No, it's not yours.
Subscription services. Yeah. Well, Clip Studio isn't like that, right?
Clip Studio, yes, it moved to a one pay software to a subscription, like, you know, 1 year subscription is like $19.
Oh, well, that's not a lot, but is that just, no, I heard that that's just like on the iPad, right?
Yes, on the iPad.
Yeah, you got to get a PC, man.
No, I use the Clip Studio on PC on a Wacom Cintiq.
Yeah.
Wacom Cintiq in the desk, it is a desk tablet. But also for the traveling or when I go to my other work. My other work is I'm a teacher in the college.
Yeah.
I teach some art and drawing and painting.
Yeah.
In the careers of graphic design and illustration.
Yeah.
And when I went to work, I picked my iPad Pro and.
Oh, you got to get a Surface or something like that. So you could take everything with you and not have to pay that subscription service.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's too much money.
$19 a year isn't that bad.
For the benefits that give me work in the way and work in also when I went to vacations.
Yeah.
I don't have the vacations, but I try to use the Wacom, not the Wacom, sorry, the iPad.
The iPad. Yeah. No, I understand. I have a Samsung laptop, which I can draw on the screen. And I love it. I love it so much. And yeah, I'm not, I've never moved over to the iPad. I have one machine that can just do everything. Like, you know what I mean? I can draw on it. I can type on it. You know, I can do everything and I don't have to switch machines. But yeah, no, I'm not trying to sell Samsung. I'm just saying, like, that's what I do.
It's a great option. It's a great option. And also it's more cheap.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I think Apple products are overrated.
They're very expensive.
They are good, but overrated.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm not much of an Apple lover myself. But no, that's interesting. So do you, for fun, I mean, you said you teach art. Do you, for fun, still work on paper at all? Or, like, do sketches on paper? Or
sketches. Just sketches on paper.
Yeah.
The problem of the new iPads and all this sort of new gadgets is that if you run out of battery, you're
screwed. Yeah.
But thank you, the paper. The paper, you just need a pencil and a paper. So
yeah.
So I have my sketchbook always with
me. Yeah. Are those Mr. Beaver postcards that you have as part of the Kickstarter? Are those? Are those digital or are they? Did you do those on?
They are for real. They are analog. Made with paper, with ink, pencils, and copying markers.
Nice.
Copying markers. So I save it to the great backers to give me the original art of Mr. Beaver. Like, it's like a postal. Let me looking for it. I think I got it.
Yeah. Well, we're not on video. You don't have to show it. But if you go to the Kickstarter, you can see the postcards, and it's part of some of the rewards, right?
Yeah. All the rewards have Mr. Beaver in digital, but some of them have Mr. Beaver in paper, trade paperback, and some of the rewards have the original art in as a gift.
Yeah.
Also, some of their works include some of my other work, like I work on Mr. Beaver and work on for other publishers, just drawing. And in my spare time, I draw another comic that is Cat Knight. It's another project that I have, and it is included in the one of their rewards.
Yeah, I noticed that you were a little while ago that you were posting on Instagram a different comic book and stuff. What is that book called again?
Cat Knight. It's like a cat. Cat Knight.
Yeah.
Like,
Cat Knight.
Cat Knight. Yeah. It's like a medieval kind of story.
Uh-huh.
But it's more like naive than Mr. Beaver. It's more like a adventure. It's more like
like sword and sorcery.
Exactly, sword and sorcery kind of story.
And with cats?
it's like the world of Mr. Beaver. It's like there is an irregular people and there is anthropomorphic people.
Oh, that's great. Oh yeah, I haven't seen that at all. Did you put that on Kickstarter at one point?
Yes, it's a reward. It's a reward in the first issue of Cat Knight. It's a reward on Kickstarter.
No, but I mean before the Mr. Beaver, did you put that in on its own on Kickstarter?
No.
Oh,
no,
so is this like the first time people are going to see it, like all together, or?
No, I put it in. I published in Tapastic.
Oh, okay. Oh, so online, so people can read it.
Yeah. Yes, I've been published it for free in Tapas.
Oh, you're gonna have to send me a link to that because I want to check that out.
Yeah. No problem.
No, that's cool. So sword and sorcery. So you do like the anthropomorphic animals? Like you were raised on like what? Like Disney cartoons and stuff like that, or Bugs Bunny.
Yes, not just the Disney. Also, the manga influence I have. There's a lot of titles that have anthropomorphic characters.
Really?
Manga.
Huh?
Yes, a lot, and I was influenced by that. Really.
Oh, okay. I was gonna ask if, and maybe I asked this in our last interview. When I lived in Colombia for a year when I was younger, and all the only comic that they had was this thing called Condorito, and
Condorito.
I hated that thing.
But Condorito is a Chilean character.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a Chilean character. Some of another countries of South America claim like the Condorito his home, but really the origin of the character is created by a Chilean author.
Gotcha. Well, I hated it because it was the only thing I could get.
Condorito is very. It's like more. Jokes like a
yeah it's
joke.
More like a humor strip, right?
Humor strip, right, like you said, and the jokes are very awful.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, I think for me it was more, it seemed like the only thing I could get in Colombia at the time, and I had a hard time speaking and reading Spanish, so it just became like a symbol of like I hate this thing. And then when I got back to the United States, one of the very first comic that I ever collected was called Captain Carrot and His Amazing Zoo Crew. And it
yes, you mentioned it. I didn't know it until you introduced me to the
Have rabbit. You checked it out at all?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I remember like it looks like the super American.
Yeah, the just a lot of animals. Yeah,
super American rabbit. I remember.
Oh yeah.
It's very similar. I didn't know until you introduced the character.
yeah. Well, as a fan of anthropomorphic animals, that's probably up yours and anyone's alley who really likes that. Yeah, it's really funny because it must be that sort of like Looney Tunes Disney sort of brainwashing that we got when we were little kids. But I mean, I love comic books with anthropomorphic animals. Like there's just something in, I'm not a furry or anything like that. Like I'm not like
no, it's, me either.
It's
me
not
either.
Strange. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, no offense to furries out there. You do you, you do whatever you want. You know, I'm just not into that. But for me, there is something about like Rocket Raccoon, like in the Marvel movies, where I'm, or even in the comics, like when they debuted Rocket Raccoon, it was like there was something hardwired in my brain to that Mike Mignola artwork, and just the comic when I saw it on the stand is like, I want this, like, and it was just because he was a raccoon with a laser gun, and I'm like, what, yeah. Like, why am I so drawn to this? And even as an adult, a very old adult now, I still like love this stuff.
Yeah, me too. I also grew up with the Care Bears.
Oh, the Care Bears. Did you like the Care Bears?
I really, when I was a kid, I really liked the Care Bears.
Oh, really?
I remember my dad rent the VHS.
Yeah.
The video cassette.
Yeah.
And I saw the Care Bears all day.
That's great.
I think I tried to tweak in Mr. Beaver that if you saw a Care Bear, you what do you expect of a Care Bear?
It's like, yeah,
just love, tender. But if someone gives you the opposite of the what are you saw, it's like a like a rewire your brain.
Yeah,
rewire your brain to understand that. I think that's the charm of it. Like I said before, when you present a anthropomorphic character and a cute character, people tend to like it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I have my own like little comic, and I made it like a cat. You know what I mean?
The cats, yeah, the superhero cats. Or...
Yeah, the periwinkle puss. So no, nowhere near as good as Mr. Beaver. Like seriously, like Mr. Beaver is amazing. Like I love Mr. Beaver. I mean, I do my own little thing on my own time, but like this is like Mr. Beaver is, you know, it's up there. I mean, I have to say. I mean, I think I've said it to you, or I even shared on Facebook recently, like probably in the past several years, like one of my favorite things that I've come across. Like, I just think it's like so great. I mean, your work. So you wrote this too, right?
Yes. I'm the writer and the artist.
Yeah. The writer and the artist, but somebody else colored it, right? Is that what you were saying?
Somebody else. Yes. We hired a colorist, a Spanish colorist, Jose Esposito.
Okay.
He He did all the color of the first 5 issues of Mr. Beaver.
Yeah. And so this Kickstarter is for all 5 issues, right? And the trade paperback?
Yes, it's the trade paperback of the 5 issues. So it's the also it's the first arc, like I like to say, of Mr. Beaver.
So
it's
is there going to be more Mr. Beaver? Más? Señor Castor?
Yeah, that's the premise I am saving for your show.
That's great.
Mr. Beaver has a family of beavers.
No way! You're kidding me.
Be appearing in we two 7. I'm writing right now, writing and drawing right now of the new arc of Mr. Beaver.
That's so great.
Mr. Beaver issue 1 to 5 is the first arc to introduce the characters, show the world they're living in.
Yeah.
To get used to a beaver, a talking beaver.
Yeah.
And then second arc, I introduced the family of the Mr. Beaver. So it's like Ninja Turtles.
That's so great.
Each character will have a each beaver will have a skill, and so.
So are they gonna fight crime with him and do stuff with him?
Yes, they will join him and fight crime. Like a family.
Oh my God, Pablo, that's so amazing!
It's the premise to your show.
So I forget exactly, but Mr. Beaver, he's like the only. Is he the only anthropomorphic animal in Mr. Beaver's world?
No.
My okay.
Idea was the main characters will be beavers because it's Mr. Beaver and his family.
Yeah.
And the other characters will be, I think, another animals.
Gotcha.
The enemies, like also in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The main characters are the turtles, and some friends or enemies are other animals.
Gotcha. So he's not like Howard the Duck, where like Howard the Duck is the only duck like on the planet. There's other animals in this world.
No. I think in the beginning, at the first issue of Mr. Beaver, I think like that. I think I thought that Mr. Beaver will be the only character or the only
animal
or furry character of the book. But I saw the series of Netflix. I think it's called The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah.
I did notice that all the hits or all the animation that were hits or made something in the animation world or were very popular, there was always a team of heroes. Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers. If you notice, there is no one character that is look alike. It's a team of characters that made the show. So I tried to achieve with Miss Revere the same. Also, don't know if you are seeing me.
Yeah, I can see you, but this is just an audio podcast. Yeah,
actually have the premise to the show, and also have here the sketch of the new character. It would be his lost brother. His brother is like a ninja beaver.
Oh wow, he's showing me a picture. That's really nice. That looks great. Oh, he's hardcore.
I haven't showed the image to anyone.
You are
the
first one. Wow.
The ninja brother, the lost ninja brother of Mr. Beaver.
That's great. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
That's awesome.
But he will appear in Mr. Beaver 2-7.
Gotcha.
The first appearance.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, so I get it. So you want to expand like the animals some more so that there's a bit more of like marketability to the title. Will it remain Mr. Beaver or will you change the name of it?
No, I think we keep the name.
Okay, gotcha.
I think it's catchy. I think he connects communicate the idea.
Yeah.
There will be beavers. So the main characters will be beavers, so
that's great. Well, you're gonna have a spin-off like the Beaver Clan or something, or like
yes, the Beaver Clan.
Are they gonna be called the Tooth instead of the Foot, like in Daredevil or something? You call them the Teeth.
Great idea. Yes.
So, something like that. That's great. Well, I have to say, I mean, I love Mr. Beaver, Señor Castor. That's how you say it in Spanish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love Mr. Beaver. I am so happy that you're still out there doing your thing, because I mean, I know that that a lot of creators have had problems with Action Lab, and I mean, I've seen you posting on Instagram, but when I saw that Mr. Beaver was coming to Kickstarter, and now knowing, I mean, honestly, if you're a publisher listening to this podcast, get in touch with Pablo, because this book is amazing. I mean, it's just a fantastic read. It's fun. I can't imagine that somebody wouldn't really love reading this. I mean, it's just great. There's not enough superlative adjectives in English that I could give towards Mr. Beaver. I mean, it's right up my alley. And honestly, I don't see why a publisher wouldn't just fully embrace this. I mean, Pablo, you're an amazing talent. I mean, I just love, I love looking at your work on Instagram. I love the book when I first read it, and it's true. I am jealous of your ability. ¿Cómo se dice en español? ¿Celoso?
Celoso, sí. Celoso. Pero maybe it sounds like a little hard work. But no, thank you. Thank you for all your words and all your support, Christian. Without you, I think people can't know Mr. Beaver.
Yeah. Well, you have like a ton of Instagram followers, so people must be reacting to it, right?
Yes, and overall, one of these days or these late days, have a lot of followers and new likes on the book, and like you say, I hope the people can love Mr. Beaver, know Mr. Beaver, and contribute to the or back the campaign. This is the chance we have to publish the book. The chance that we haven't had in the last time.
Sure.
We actually have, and this is the chance to publish all the book together, and the people that can know Mr. Beaver.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for you. I hope that the Kickstarter fund has it funded yet? Not yet, right?
It's like 42%.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I hope it funds. If you're out there, throw Mr. Beaver some of your cash. What's your Instagram handle? Where can people find you?
Me in Pablo Verdugo Muñoz.
Okay.
And with the I don't know how to say the line that goes
Enya?
Enya. The separation between the words.
Oh, a hyphen?
Hyphen.
A hyphen between Pablo and Verdugo and Muñoz? Gotcha.
There will be an image of Mr. Beaver.
Yeah.
So, That's my profile.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Yeah, it's great. Well, I have to say, I mean, I love this book. So, well, one last question. You are in Chile, but it looks like the Kickstarter is being run out of Australia, which is where the gentleman who's helping you run this thing, right?
Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you to Benjamin Slavak. He's the producer of the book. And right, to get on to get up a Kickstarter campaign, you have to have a bank account in United States, I guess.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yes, and Benjamin Slager have these resources.
Yeah.
To do the campaign in United States from Australia.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. Again, go to Kickstarter, check out Mr. Beaver. Any final words, Pablo?
No, just to thank you for your time, for your room in your podcast.
Of course.
And I think that's it. is please support Mr. Beaver in Kickstarter.
Yeah,
it is a great chance to know the character, know the book, and I hope people like it.
Yeah, well, I love it, and I thank you for your time because I look at your art and I'm just like, oh, like I'm just glad that this guy's giving me time. I mean, I'm very honestly.
Thanks to you, Christian.
No, I mean, honestly, like I look at your stuff and I'm like, this is great. Like, this is a guy who, I mean, should be up there, you know, with some of the best talent in comics, like be recognized. I mean, like I'm being very honest with you when I'm like, yes, I am so jealous of you because like your talent. I mean, honestly, I looked at Mr. Beaver when you first sent it to me and I've seen your stuff on Instagram and I'm like, this guy should be like, I mean, whether you want to or not, be regarded up there with some of the people who are being recognized, you know, at Image, at Marvel, at DC. Like, I think that, you know, honestly, I can't say it enough. I think that what you're doing is great, and I'm very appreciative for you to come on. And people should fund this book. Go to Kickstarter, look up Mr. Beaver. Mr. Beaver's great. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. Maybe if you throw enough money at it, like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, you can get one of those plush that Pablo just showed me. So again, the name is Pablo Verdugo Munoz. My name is Christian Horn. This has been the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. Thank you for listening. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that wonderful social media stuff. Our email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. Please go to Kickstarter, support Mr. Beaver. Pablo's work is really amazing. I love it. And again, thanks for listening. And we will be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing. And yeah, doing part-time.